Welcome. Ray and Tay
today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. Yeah, and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA. MLB, college football, college basketball. Some tennis for y'all. A little bit of golf. Maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back Rocky.
Let's start the show.
Hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Give us a call. Join the adventure, the ride, talking sports, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails and your thoughts at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Tweet at us at Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com, with a lot of cool interviews, pictures, a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, we got some stuff coming up for you. NFL draft preview, a lot of exciting stuff going on in sports, and some crazy stuff. But, Ray, let them know what we're talking about on today's show.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about, so it's getting juicy. There's some juiciness, but in a very, very negative light that we need to talk about. So we'll obviously talk about that, the whole situation with the L.A. Clippers and their owner. We're going to talk about the NBA, the real exciting part of what's been happening for the last 10 days, because, you know, we said, wake us up in April. Well, we're awake, and these NBA players, I can't remember a first round that's been this exciting.
Great.
I mean, the parity.
One of the best first rounds, yeah.
4 or 5 matchups, you know, in the West, 3 overtime games. So that's fantastic. We'll talk about we'll bring you a new segment. We'll talk about 5 guys who really need to prove, you know, 5 guys burgers. I don't know if you have that out in Arizona, but we're gonna have 5 guys that really need to prove it in the NBA playoffs this year.
Yeah,
so we'll go through that.
Yeah,
we'll quickly run through baseball, and we'll kick it off with some breaking news. So before we get into the juicy, the negative and the positive of the NBA, we'll kick it off with some breaking news, and I guess we'll start off with a sad note that Dr. Jack Ramsey, so GM of the Sixers when Wilt won in 67, the coach of the Portland Trailblazers in 77 with Bill Walton,
yeah,
longtime radio and TV announcer, dies at the
for ESPN. Yeah. And Jack Ramsey is a legend. You know, Dr. Jack Ramsey is an NBA legend and one of the most intelligent, just well thought out, well versed, well spoken coaches, broadcasters that we've ever had. So, you know, Lionel Hollins has spoke highly of him. Bill Walton, he was amazing with that Portland team. So, rest in peace, and you know, we send our love and regards. An NBA family, you know, we'll miss him and to his family. So, that's Dr. Jack Ramsey. You know, I got a shout out though for the hip hop fans, yo, because you know we do some music on the show. Not Rob Bass, but Easy Rock passed away. So, you know, rest in peace to him and his family. For those who know, It Takes Two to Make a Thing Go Right, Rob Bass and Easy Rock, Harlem's own,
wow,
you know.
Young guy,
yeah,
too. Must have been, could
yeah,
have been more than his late
not
40s,
too,
early 50s, right?
Not too much older than us, yeah. Yeah, definitely around our age. So, and then, I don't know. I mean, to me, I want to ask you this because, you know, looking at baseball, Yankees, Brewers, Braves, teams are hot. Yankees, you know, get the win last night against the Angels, win that series, and they're on Sunday Night Baseball. But it's weird. Sometimes I think the Yankees piss me off because they don't play small ball. You know, Ellsbury's on first, and, you know, he could steal on this pitcher. And, you know, waiting for Jeter to try to bunt or for him to steal, and, you know, he led the AL in steals last year. And I'm just like, advance the runner. So they got lucky because they got walks and you know, pass ball, and they were able to score and win. And Tanaka pitched great again. I don't know. What are your thoughts about baseball real quick, the Yankees, Tanaka, and small ball? The American League's got to play small ball, don't you think, sometimes?
Well, I guess it depends on your roster. And the Yankees have been the opposite of small ball since the beginning of time. And it's ironic because Joe Torre was a National League manager, and Joe Girardi, before he came over, was a National League player for part of his career and also won Manager of the Year with the Florida Marlins in 1 year when he coached there, and then Jeffrey Lurie got rid of him. But the Yankees just aren't built for small ball. And it sounds terrible because bunting, moving players along, is a fundamental skill that everybody learns in high school. And then after a while, people just don't work on it. And in spring training,
you learn it
I don't know.
In Little League.
No, I'm saying up through high school.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you can hit, you're never asked to bunt. A 3-4-5 hitter is never asked
to bunt.
Well, except
for the National League, right? The 8-9 hitters,
League?
The pitchers. Not some guys, advanced runners.
Some guys,
you know,
the shortstops, the middle
do.
Infielders, the pitchers, they all know how to bunt and move runners over. But just this notion of we need a run, and you can argue the merits of it, right? You can argue, some people say, so the money ball guys say, never give up an out. You only have 27 of them, so why would I give up an out, right? I have almost as good a shot if the guy swings away of doing something more productive. I mean, maybe you hit into a double play, but maybe you hit a double. Maybe you hit you move the runner. You hit a home run. You know, whatever. But if you need to execute, my problem is not the strategy, because leave that up to the manager. My problem is the execution. So you hear managers in press conferences say, "I would never ask him to bunt because I don't think he can." Really?
Yeah.
I don't think he can.
It's kind of
what do you mean
it's
you cannot bunt? You can pay $10 million a year, you can't bunt? Go back to spring training and do a whole session on bunting.
So I just had to bring that up. Now, obviously, there's some more news in football and college basketball with the guys have to declare. But I want to just throw this at you. The Browns are auditioning Vince Young. You got to like that. Maybe Vince Young still gets an opportunity. There's a lot of rumors as we're getting closer to the draft. And like I said, May 5th is our draft preview show. The Falcons, they really are talking about trading up to get Clowney. You see the Lions are meeting with Marquise Lee. There's rumors about the Texans saying it's either Clowney or Manziel, or they're trading out. I don't know. I would say this. I bet you draft night, the first round, Thursday, there's at least – 3 trades in the first round. I'm sensing that there's going to be a lot of movement. And let me ask you, would you trade Ndamukong Suh if you're the Lions? I think they need to stop that foolishness. They don't need to trade
him for what?
There's a lot of talk about, you know, people, fans all upset because he's at Larry Fitzgerald's softball game out here in Arizona for charity, and he's not at the voluntary workouts, and fans are like, what could we get for Sue? And the Lions are supposedly investigating what they could get for Sue. I'm like, you better keep Ndamukong Suh. Maybe it's that big contract coming up that they don't want to
wind
up, having to pay him.
Yeah, it might be the contract. It might be the fact that every so often he gets in trouble and needs to pay a fine and gets on their nerves. But, no, he's a great player.
Now, you don't just give away that type of
– Yeah, he was a number – and he was a number 2 overall pick, right? It's not like he came out of nowhere. So everybody knew at Nebraska that he was the man. He maybe had a chance to be the Heisman Trophy winner that year. But he's the real deal. He just I don't know what works in his mind. I mean, what kind of flip – the switch he flips, but he seems like a total teddy bear off the field.
I know, that's so
funny.
On the
field, he's a funny character. He almost reminds me of the Raiders of the 70s, you know, the 60s, 70s.
Oh, no,
Al
definitely.
Davis' Raiders. Did you read this? This is interesting. I don't know if you heard this, but Teddy Bridgewater, this is smart, took out an insurance policy that has a loss of value clause in it that says that if he doesn't get picked in the first round of the draft and can prove he has an injury, then he'll collect $5 million tax-free. So I guess when he was, I don't know when he got it, but let's say a few months ago, when he was projected to be the number one overall pick, certainly a top five pick, he took out an insurance policy for $5 million that says that if he can...
A lot of players insure different things.
No, I know, but this is just a value insurance, meaning if he drops out of the first round, that's that money that you would have got as guaranteed money in your contract. I mean, NFL's a sliding scale, but the guy could make $5 million tax-free, so that's like making $10 million.
Hey, listen, they teach the kids something at Louisville.
I'm sure the insurance company is thinking they need to prop up his stock. They don't want to spend that $5 million.
Now, look, in the NBA, we got some stuff for us Knicks fans. Our buddy that was fired, Mike Woodson, he's over at NBA TV now, but he says that he would still, you know, like to throw his hat in the ring for any NBA coaching jobs. So that would be interesting. I think Woody would be a good coach anywhere. I like that. We'll see what happens.
They were talking about him going to Indiana a few months ago. They were going to get rid
of
Tom
Crean.
Right,
and I think, Utah, that job is free, right? And
I was saying Indiana, I mean University of Indiana. Go back to college.
Oh, wow.
They were saying that Tom Crean, they were fed up with him, and Woody went to Indiana. So
definitely.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that'd be kind of messed up, though. I think Tom Crane's doing a great job. And then Steve Kerr met with Phil Jackson and the Knicks. That's going to be interesting. We'll watch that play out. I don't know when it will be announced, but we'll be all over the next head coach of the Knicks. And then as we start to, before we get into Donald Sterling, two things. One, today is the last day for players to declare, I believe by 4 or 6 p.m. But what's interesting, I didn't realize, you know, some of these guys that are coming out, we talked about the Harrison twins staying, but Mitch McGarry, I didn't realize he had to come out because the NCAA was going to suspend him for drugs. He was going to have to sit out a year. That's crazy.
But here's the hypocrisy, though. If that had happened in Big Ten play or just randomly where the University of Michigan had caught it, then he would have been suspended for, I think it was a week or 10 days or three games or the lesser of all those three.
I don't understand.
But because it happened in the NCAA tournament, he's subject to a year-long suspension. So I think there's something a little bit off about that. I mean, it shouldn't matter when you do something. If you do it and you want to legislate against it, that's totally fine. But I think the penalty should be the same throughout the year. It shouldn't matter if you violate rules in November or if you violate rules in March. You should have the same penalty. So that's a little bit weird.
Definitely.
That the guy gets caught for smoking marijuana and now is going to be suspended for a year. So, they force his hand, basically.
He should have just transferred to the University of Colorado. But anyway, that's what he – So as we segue and we, get into Donald Sterling, I found this interesting. It was a report that Magic Johnson and the Guggenheim group are interested in purchasing the Clippers. And then we start from there. Adam Silver is going to announce at 2 o'clock tomorrow before the Game 5 in Los Angeles, I guess what the NBA is deciding to do for punishment for Donald Sterling's comments. Two things, right? I guess for me as an African-American, it's like I'm not surprised, but I'm definitely sad that this is still an issue or topic. And I think all human beings should be sort of just grossed out by just any type of bigotry and hatred towards anybody, not even just for me as an African-American, but for anybody. But it's a shame because this guy, he's got sort of a shady track record, not just in NBA and real estate or whatever, but there's not much that can be done, right? So this guy, he bought the team for $13 million, potentially right now could sell it for $700 million to $1 billion. But the owners are kind of being quiet. You've only heard something from Arison, from the Heat, the Spurs, Michael Jordan for the Bobcats. But I guess behind closed doors, the owners are saying that they want this guy to sell. But he doesn't have to. And you brought up a great point off air, and, you know, maybe you can talk about it, but this guy's sort of the Howard Hughes of the NBA owners, a renegade. You know, he moved the Clippers and sued the NBA, yada, yada, all this different stuff. I don't know. What do you think, I guess, what's – not what's going to appease the masses. I guess, really, what's right? What's truthful? What should happen in this case? Because it's got to be hard for Doc and the Clippers to even play for him. They got to play for themselves. They don't want, you know, I don't know. I'm just at a weird place
with
this whole
thing. This is a case where, you know, this is bigger than basketball. And putting basketball aside, because we'll talk about the basketball part of it in our next segment. But yeah. I think that this is actually easier than most situations. You know, there are situations that are hard to see what the best outcome is. It's pretty easy to see the best outcome. The best outcome here is that Donald Sterling gets suspended, Donald Sterling has to pay a fine, and Donald Sterling has to sell the team. I think it's best for everybody. The funny thing is that Donald Sterling actually, from a business standpoint, and it sounds like business all the time, he's been known to be an owner that underpays. So Elgin Baylor was reportedly underpaid.
The coaches, too, had
coaches
to sue him.
Underpaid. Mike Dunleavy had to sue him to get his back pay. So for him to sell this team 30 years later for, you know, a value that goes from 15 – look, if the Milwaukee Bucks in the Milwaukee market were sold for $550 million, you got to think that this team, even though they don't own Staples,
at least seven.
They're in the L.A. market. So I would think they're at least 30%, 40% more valuable than the Bucks. So you got to think this is between $700 and $1 billion, right? So for him, so everybody wins, right? For Sterling, he gets a fantastic financial gain from this. Now, maybe he didn't plan for it, and for tax reasons, he would like to do some other things or whatever, but he's a billionaire already, right? So he'll deal with the tax burden. So Sterling kind of gets to ride out with a whole bunch of cash. The NBA gets to introduce new ownership to the to the league, and they get to get rid of an owner that, frankly, it sounds like the owners historically haven't liked to begin with. So,
right. But wait, not so fast, because Wifey's sort of like stepping away from him saying, my family and I are not racist. We love the Clippers, the players. We stand by them.
Yeah,
she's
so
kind of making a play for the fact that she
exactly.
might want to still.
So that's a
exactly.
fly in the ointment. That's a fly in the ointment because there might be a divorce situation going on. There might be an L.A. Dodgers situation with the McCourts. Or it might have a DeBartolo York situation with the Niners, where Eddie DeBartolo got kicked out of the league, and then his sister York basically took over the family interest. So even though the easiest, neatest, cleanest solution is for Donald Sterling to sell the team and leave the NBA, there might be some issues there. He might not want to. His wife might want a piece of it. But I think ultimately the cards are going to fall, and it's going to start with corporate sponsorships, and then eventually
so
it's going to get the fans.
Right,
they're
we got CarMax. We have CarMax, who is taking their sponsorship away, and temporarily State Farm, which is big with the Clippers, especially in the arena with Cliff Paul. Chris Paul, that whole little sponsorship. State Farm is big in the arena there. And then this one is kind of funny. I was joking with my wife about it. You know, and it's good, right? He was supposed to sing the national anthem, R&B singer Tank. He said, you know what? I don't want the money. I'm not going to sing. You know, brings him some fame because a lot of people don't know about Tank. But it's just kind of funny. Like, oh, wait a minute. Tank's not singing. Now we really got to get rid of Sterling.
That's funny.
It's not funny. But do we have
hold on.
We got
a caller here. Maybe yeah. Caller wants to talk Sterling, NBA, NFL.
Definitely.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, it's Oren Luke. It's Ray and Tay. What's going on?
Hey, what's up,
what's
Oren?
Going
what's
going on, Oren?
I had to call you brothers today. It was this news is kind of it's definitely a lightning rod going on. So I wanted to give you guys a call, give my little bit of two cents on it.
Yeah, give us your two cents and throw in a quarter, man. What's happening in D.C. with the Wizards and just and everything with Sterling, man? What's going on?
Well, you know, the Wizards, we're definitely they're looking really good. I definitely think they may cause some damage in the second round. I think Chicago, they're just limping along. They just, you know, they need some help. So that's the short of that one. You know, that's,
right.
I feel bad for them, but that's what happens when you don't have anybody that can score. But
exactly.
As far as Sterling, you know, I just think that the interesting thing, I did some research on it, is that this has been going on for years.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
during
been
the
a lot of
commissioner. You know, so he's had discrimination suits against him. He's had incidences where he already said things like this previously. And it's shocking to me that now, I mean, of course, this is more incendiary because now you hear him saying it. But what is he saying when he has these, when all the owners are together? See, I think he's just the one senile person that when you get, you know, you get older and you get, you see old person don't care and just says what they want to say.
Right. And they
he's
just,
one of those
type
of people to me.
No, you, hey, Arn, you bring up a great point because if you look back in all the depositions, you look back what Elgin Baylor said, this is all public record, so it's like shame on us. It sounds like this guy hasn't changed his stripes in 20 years.
It's well, it's like the Roosters are coming home, right, to the NBA because, you know, they thought he was going to pass away, and you know, one wishes this, but they thought he was sick a couple of years ago, and that the other owners are like, oh, he'll just sort of pass away, and we won't have to deal with him. But no, now he's finally gotten his ignorance and hatred to the public, and it can mess up the whole league and the brand. You know, it's an ugly situation.
But I think I really don't. I think that other owners, I don't. I'm not trying to characterize anybody, but I say he's so far to really. Outside force saying this. You know, of course we can't prove it. Other owners are a little younger and they're smarter and know to avoid talking about things like that. But on his end, I just think that this is one of those times where it's bigger than a game of basketball. And these players are playing.
Let me ask
under
you, did you hear what Chauncey Billups said? Chauncey Billups said that he, for his grandmother and for his family and for the history of this country, he would not play game five. Personally, how would you feel?
I agree with you.
Okay.
I think that's the only message you're going to send. I think what just needs to happen is that, okay, you forced him to sell. He bought it for, what, $12.5 million or $15 million? It's worth $500 million now?
At least.
Yeah, at least.
So what you need to do is make that franchise is devalue it as much as possible for somebody to try to come in and take it. That's what's going to make him quick to sell. When the sponsors pull out, when players don't want to play, and it's a total debacle over there, and the value's gone down, that's what's going to hurt him. He'll laugh all the way to the bank if he has to sell right now.
Yeah,
right.
Funny
and for years,
say that.
He's been known as the worst owner in sports for years.
Yeah.
You know.
The franchise is worth less with him now because, like you said, sponsors are going to start to pull out. I'm hard-pressed to think that that he'll be able to attract free agents. So
definitely.
The owners, the league, the buyers are going to want to get him out of there so that they can start fresh. But he will walk away with a bucket of money. So either way.
No matter what. And there's nothing anyone can do about it, right? I mean, give him credit for the business savvy. You know, he did what he did and moved from San Diego to L.A. and, you know, got the team. I'll say this, though. You know what's fascinating about this whole thing? Not one person has come out and publicly defended him and said, I'm friends with Donald. You know, this is out of his character. And normally when you have these type of incidents, right, there's always someone to come out and say, oh, this person's not this bad, and da-da-da. Not one person has come out and has been to step up for him. It's total
but
crickets.
But the other thing I think is kind of sad is that no other owner saw Michael Jordan as anything.
No. Two owners. I think Mickey Arison and the owner, I forgot his name, of the Spurs, I think the two of them and Jordan have sort of said, you know, Jordan came out the strongest, yes. But Arison and, you know, I think it was Arison and the owner from the Spurs, so.
I think they probably got on a league-wide conference call and decided to let Adam Silver talk for them.
For
the
owners,
Yeah, I felt like.
Remember, Oren, they have to be careful legally to say something in public themselves.
Yeah, true. That's true. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that what it comes down to is that these players have been shown that their owner objectifies them as property.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they have to have a moral compass that, you know, you get millions of dollars, But really, if they all were in unison to do it, what could they have happen to them at the most? Lose a game salary?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I say, you know, it's unprecedented waters, but if they don't make a stand, what will happen next? You know, because
well,
people talking
is,
about he's going to back off, but you can't force him to sell it.
Right, right. But I'll say this. If I'm a player, I'm in a weird spot because part of me would not want to play because of him, but part of me wants to play because of the fans and the fact that I want to play for myself because I'm trying to get a championship. And so I think the best thing that I would do is not what they did the game yesterday with the reverse jerseys inside out and this and that. That was cute, whatever. I would, on live television, I would refuse to go into the game for about 15 minutes and just make the whole TV NBA just stop, stand still for
yep.
about 15
yep.
minutes.
Yep.
That's what
because
I would do.
Because that's where the power is at. You know, the players have to understand their power. Without the players, there's no NBA.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
I think the players,
right.
I think the triumvirate, right, the players, the fans, and the corporate mm-hmm. sponsors, I think those three are going to put so much pressure, and this is happening in L.A., right? So they're going to put a lot of pressure on Sterling, the Sterling family. I believe he'll be suspended indefinitely, and he'll be fined, but the fine isn't going to be. I think the max fine you can get is $1 million, so to a guy like
yeah.
that probably doesn't move the needle. But I think that, as you said, Oren, the value of his franchise is going to go down every day he's associated with the franchise because fewer fans are going to renew their season tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsors are going to start to walk away. The free agents aren't going to want to come to L.A. It's going to be a PR disaster, and so the viewership's going to go down on TV, so the TV rights are going to go down in value. So he better, and he's a businessman, so he's probably going to cut ship sooner than later because the value
yep.
of his franchise is going to keep going down.
That's true.
And you know what? I bet you the other owners behind closed door, they legally will threaten to sue him if it starts to damage their television contracts and stuff like that, because
mm-hmm.
that's where this could be headed, and this could get really, really big. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But you know what? We're going to talk about some real hoops on the court because this is one of the best first rounds. The Blazers are balling, the Raptors, the Hawks. It's a lot of fun. I'll say this, Oren, before we let you go. Your Wizards, you got something special there. I just think Otto Porter next year has got to develop, eat some, you know, lift some weights so you have another player. But, you know, great game from Ariza and Beal and Wall, you know, besides the guys at the Splash Brothers might be the best backcourt in basketball. So
oh,
thanks
yeah.
for calling
yeah.
in,
and,
man.
And, you know,
we
Nene,
appreciate the call.
Don't sleep on Nene. He's really been playing
no.
too. So.
No.
All
right,
like
Nene.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right,
Oren. Thanks
call.
For calling in.
No problem.
Wow.
Okay.
Take care, Oren.
All right. Well, see, you hear it. I mean, this is a guy from D.C., you know, friend to the show. And, you know, I think I don't know. I don't know if the Clippers will not play. I think they're going to play. But I do think that they will, you know, say something to the crowd. But maybe there needs to be a little bit more. You know, it's hard. I think Billups can say that because he's not on the team right now.
Think about if you're Chris
yeah,
Paul, and you're in your,
yeah.
what is it, your ninth year, 10th year, came out
yeah.
in 04 with Darren Williams. These guys are 05, sorry, right after Carolina.
Their whole lives
the
are dedicated to the playoffs and working so
yeah,
hard.
Yeah, and they're dedicated to their teammates, right? These are the same guys that you run sprints with, that you lift weights with, that you fight with during the season. I mean, in a good way, in a brotherly kind of
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
You've been through, I don't want
the
to say
wars,
hell and
yeah.
back, it's not war, but
no,
you know what I mean? You've been through a lot with these guys.
Yeah, push,
and
yeah.
you want it because you want it for your teammates, for your fans, for yourself. You know,
your
so
legacy,
there's a
family.
This is what
yeah.
they do. So to them, because of this, you know, this owner that you have that you may or may not have known the depth of his feelings when you signed up, because some people are like, well, why did you take his money if you knew that this is how we felt? I don't think anybody knew the depth.
Yeah,
I mean,
nah.
there's rumors.
It's not like when you signed
everything.
A contract, he's like, thanks, N-word. You know, come on. I mean, that's not fair for people to say that to the Clipper players. That's not fair.
Right. So,
or the
so
Doc
it's
Rivers,
hard
yeah.
to step away and boycott a game because, you know, you look at all these other players that have done things in the past. So you look at, you know, Tommy Smith in the Olympics in 68 and Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. And at the end of the day, they were able to perform in their sport and be politically active at the same time. So some people would say, well, stepping away and boycotting the game is the message. And other people would say, you know what? What you live for is your teammates and this sport and winning. And so don't give somebody the satisfaction of just giving away your hard work and your dreams because this
right,
guy
he's not worth it.
He's not worth yeah. it, exactly. So,
no, and Shaq, give Shaq credit. He said last night on air, you know, when you play for a championship, you're not playing. You know, as much as they love Jerry Buss, he's like, you know, Jerry Buss. I wasn't playing for Jerry Buss. I'm playing for myself, and that's the truth. I don't think any player in any sport, baseball, football, nobody's like playing and says, oh, I'm doing this for the owner. No, you're doing it for yourself. So I mean, I think that's also you know a reality too. So I don't know. Let's put this to bed. We'll see. We'll talk. You know, we'll be back Friday. We'll follow up with what happens with Adam Silver, and we'll watch the games and see the protests. And you know, I mean, look, I'm not going out to you know buy any Clipper stuff anytime soon, especially while this clown is the owner. And you know, it will play out how it's going to play out. But there's great basketball, and if we look at this playoffs and going back to yesterday, let's start off with the Wizards and Bulls, you know, as Oren was here. I got to say, I'm so impressed with this young team, Ray, and we've spoken about it off air, but kudos to them, right? The Bulls are not chumps, and for Ariza to step up and drop 30 and for them to, you know, start Booker, who started a bunch of games during the season, you know, give you 9 boards, but the way that the whole team stepped up without Nene and John Wall getting 10 assists, that was a great win, and I got to give the Wizards a lot of credit. They might not win it in 5, but I think they could come back Game 6 and definitely, you know, win the series at home.
You know, it's funny. Chicago, in some ways, is the team that's the most interesting in these playoffs because this team is potentially going to add Derrick Rose and Carmelo next year. So that, oof, I mean, how crazy is that? But what we've seen, so that's the thing that might, you know, that's sort of the Jekyll and Hyde effect. But the other thing is next year's NBA, you talked about it a little bit, but this young backcourt in Washington, plus a healthy Nene and Gortat, they got to figure out what to do with this contract, and then if Otto Porter develops, and then if they add another draft pick, this is a nice young team in the East. And you got to figure, you know,
and they got Webster
some other teams that might be up and coming next year in the East. So that's the real, you know, them and Toronto. I mean, talk about two teams that really flew under the radar for most of the season and look like they could be building a team. I mean, we talked a little bit about DeMar DeRozan, but I owe him an apology.
He's a star.
I mean, this kid came out of USC,
we both.
And I just thought he was an athlete. I think he was number 8 overall in the first round, something like that.
Got his first All-Star this season and is playing ball. Raptors tied up the series yesterday. It's 2-2.
Jonas Valanciunas in the front court, DeRozan and Kyle Lowry in the back court. We thought they had acquired Rudy Gay and then traded Rudy Gay, and we were thinking, what are they doing?
Don't forget the best backup point guard in the NBA in Grievous Vasquez.
Your boy from Maryland,
Yo
Grievous.
Terps, 9 assists, Venezuela stand-up. It's a good story. And I think for the Eastern Conference that always gets beat up by the West and everybody gives the West all the props, like you said, Toronto and Washington are two franchises that are definitely – building the right way with youth and on the upswing. And they're only going to get better. These teams are going to drop off. They're going to continue to grow and get better along with, you know, see how the Pacers, Knicks, Nets, Bulls, and, you know, Heat continue to see if they can maintain it. Well, these two teams are up on the rise. So that will be, you know, nice to look at. Let's talk about the Rockets Trailblazers. another overtime game.
3 out of 4.
Amazing play, but the Blazers, they pull it out, 123-120. I thought, we spoke about it off air, I thought for a moment there that the Rockets could pull it off. I was amazed at how clutch, you know, Lillard hits the three, then, you know, Harden hits that three with, like, the shot clock going down. Howard has those two blocks. But in overtime, and I mentioned this to you, Harden has got to handle the ball. I think Coach McHale is a great coach, but you got to almost have Harden at the point. Beverly and Lynn are so frustrating as a fan to watch them. They are so sloppy with the ball. I'm talking, like, turnover city, like Charlie Ward style, you know, make me crazy as a Knicks fan. But I can't watch, and Beverly with that bad turnover, and the Blazers win the game, you know?
So
it's
you know, it's funny because neither of these teams play any D, really, or at least championship-level D.
Oh, great block shot from Aldridge, though. That
yeah,
was an awesome
team
block
has
shot.
A couple of players that play some D, and you know, they've been some critical plays. But I think Beverly, the reason they like Beverly in there because he's disruptive on defense at least. He can give Dame Lillard some problems and Wes Matthews some problems. So, but both of these teams, it's frustrating to watch these teams because they're so talented and gifted offensively, and you almost want them to apply that consistently on defense, and they both
Wait, did you hear what you just said? Did you hear what you just said? I'm talented. Yes, I'm gifted. Never boosted. Never shoplifted.
Never shoplifted.
Yo, shout out to Special Ed, yo.
Shout out to Special Ed. Where are you? Because we have a segment, Where You At? So maybe we throw Where You At? Special Ed.
Special Ed, call in, yo. You got love here at Ray and Tay. That's real hip-hop. But Aldridge, Ray, 29 points. He's averaging over 35 at the playoffs. This is big, and we'll talk about it in our next segment, Make or Break. But, you know, let's go on to the next series because the Blazers are up 3-1. I guess real quick, will the Blazers? Do you think the Blazers can hold on and win this series?
I'll tell you what, I'm not that worried. I mean, I'm worried, down 3-1.
Right.
But if you're Houston, you could easily be up 3-1 yourself. And
right. It's
putting
Oshik
in there in the starting lineup along with Dwight Howard has slowed LaMarcus Aldridge down.
Mm-hmm.
He has to work harder. And I love when Oshik, from Houston's perspective, when Oshik plays him on the ball, Dwight Howard plays him, protects the rim.
On the double team, the help, yeah.
Forces him to shoot those fadeaway jumpers. And look, if the 6'10 LaMarcus Aldridge is going to make fadeaway jumpers over the 7-foot Omer Oshik, you got to live with that. But what you're
That's
trying
true.
To prevent is him scoring 43 and 46 like
Jones,
he did in the first two games over Terrence Jones and other players that are just not physically up to the challenge. So I tell you what, I'm not that discouraged if I'm Houston. You win this game at home, it's 3-2. You go to Portland, Rip City, where you could have won both games, and then you win that game and you force a game 7 and anything can happen. So, look, do I think Portland's going to win? Yes, I have them. I predicted them before the series. But I don't think that it's that crazy that the Houston Rockets could win the series. Hold on, we got another caller. I think this is a friend to the show. Hello, caller, you're on the air with Ray and
And G-Money is in the house.
G-Money from the courthouse.
Oh, G-Money. What's the deal,
G-Money? Who's arrested today?
Are you taking Sterling to court? You taking Sterling to court? What's the deal, man?
What? The charge of being an ass? He can't help himself, man. He's guilty.
What's up, man?
What you want to talk about? Just got off the plane from SF.
What do you got for us?
Well, you know, it was funny because they had Herm Edwards with Stephen Smith and the other knucklehead.
Skip Bayless?
Yeah, Skip Bayless.
Oh, you were watching on the plane? You were watching?
I was watching on the plane.
On the plane?
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
And I thought Herm had Herm is beautiful because Herm is still Herm. Herm said you play to win the game. So
win
you know
the
what?
Game.
Protest later, win the game now, right?
Yeah.
Remember the two track athletes in the 68 games?
Yeah, we brought that up,
They won the gold and the silver, or the gold and the bronze, and then they raised their hands in defiance, which is the way it should. The Clippers better get back on track or Steph Curry's going to eat them for breakfast.
Well, we were just going to break down that series. Can they stop the small ball, though? That's the question. Forget about the controversy. Yeah, can they stop the small lineup? Give Mark Jackson credit putting in Draymond Green and going quicker without Bogut. Can the Clippers figure out and what they need to do to win?
Gee, still with us?
I don't know. But no, we lost him. But that's the question. Yeah, but that's the question. Hopefully he'll call back in. What do you think? I mean, give Mark Jackson credit, but two things. If the Warriors are shooting like that and then the small ball lineup, throwing Draymond Green and just the way that the guys are playing.
I still think the Clippers are the better team, and I think that if they played 100 times, the Clippers would win 60 times or 55 times. It's a matter of the Clippers keeping it together mentally and Golden State Warriors not hitting everything. I mean, if Steph Curry and Klay Thompson hit their shots, that opens up for Draymond Green and our boy David Lee. Golden State's tough.
Oh, David Lee. I miss David Lee.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Boy, he's back in the right time.
Right.
The other question, and I don't know the answer to this. They can't get rid of Sterling. You can't force him to sell his team.
No. You have to hit him with the devaluing of the franchise. So CarMax and State Farm.
So nobody goes?
Listen. State Farm and CarMax are pulling out. The other owners behind closed doors are going to tell Silver, look, we want this guy out. This is how we got to do it. But listen, every day he stays in, the pressure, they could countersue him, the owners, if he starts to mess up with the NBA TV contracts and they start to lose sponsorship. Or what if all of a sudden ABC is like, we're not airing the Clippers playoff game?
Nor should they. Make him feel it in his wallet. But, the other thing is, they can't, I don't think, force him out, or could they suspend him like they did with March Schott back in the day?
They will,
and I think that's what
the commissioner's going to do. I think your max fine is $1 million, and I think they'll suspend him for a year or suspend him indefinitely. Try to work out a deal
and then
where
he'll
sell the team.
Yeah.
But you're right. As a lawyer, I mean, look, he didn't break any laws. Nothing he did was illegal. So,
right.
Is there
some sort of morality clause amongst the owners?
I don't think so. If you pay $1 billion, nobody's going to tell you about being moral, right? So these teams are so valuable, and these wealthy, rich, predominantly white folks are so insulated and well protected. You got to do some pretty egregious stuff, and it's not that this isn't egregious, but illegal stuff almost to get kicked out. So you're right.
Well, remember the history. Remember the history of the Clippers when they were in San Diego.
Oh yeah, we brought that up.
Knucklehead wanted to move to Los Angeles. All the owners told him no. He told all the owners to jump in the lake, and then they sued him. He countersued, and they settled for $6 million. So all it cost him to move that team was $6 million. Sterling's not a dummy. He just, is from another era, and he needs to be put out to pasture with him and his girl. Not his wife, his girl. They got to go somewhere.
Well, here's my thing. A little slight.
I don't think either one of them want him, though, anymore. I don't think the wife or the girlfriend wants him.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question. Hold on. I got to throw a legal question in there, G-Money. So it sounds like this girl, his girlfriend, his lover, not his wife, this woman, she recorded him. Now, I know you may not know the laws in the state of California.
No, I know in California you can't do that. In California, you need consent of both parties in New York.
So she committed a felony?
Well, you're assuming that she's the one who taped it.
So whoever did it, though.
Fine, obviously,
he didn't tape himself.
Go ahead and find out who taped it. Ask TMZ. I'm sure they'll be ready to tell you.
No, okay, but whoever taped it.
But the issue is the wife is suing her for community property. Basically, Sterling gives her gifts, and then the wife is like, wait a minute, he didn't have permission from me to do that, so now I'm suing you. That's crazy to me.
I don't think she can win that.
That's
no,
weak.
But, he can do whatever he wants with his money. But, the bottom line is that, and I think Trump has said something, you know, as offensive as this guy was, he got set up by his girl. It's unfortunate at best. I also want to tip my 40 to Eric B.
What happened to
Eric B? Who passed away?
No, oh, no, Easy Rock, yo, from Rob Bass
Rock.
And Easy Rock.
Yeah.
You got to tip the 40. You got to pour out the 40 for that, definitely. But make it private stock, yo. OE or private stock.
No, seriously, the cold stuff. The cold stuff. I want to rock right now. I'm Rob Bass, and I came to get down. I'm not internationally.
Hey, Marty, what's up with the Yankees? Give us some quick thoughts about the Yankees.
Patience. I like what I see.
I like it, too.
Let them get healthy. I mean, between Ellsbury, Beltran is having 276 with a bunch of homers. I'll take that, considering how weak the AL East is at this point. You know, the Red Sox are not doing well. Tampa's not doing well. Baltimore's not doing well.
Tampa will bounce back, though. Tampa will bounce back. They
Tampa
got some
always
injuries.
Comes
Tampa
back
solid.
In the second half.
Yeah,
but let's see who fills in with Nova's spot. And right now, just stay the course. The small ball, I want everybody running. I don't want thumbs jammed.
I was pissed last night. Thank you for saying that. That's what I said to Ray at the beginning of the show. Ellsbury should have been stealing when Jeter was up, and he didn't steal. Jeter didn't bunt. I mean, there was no small ball. It's ridiculous. They got to advance the runner there.
Patience. Let's see what Teixeira does, because if he can stay healthy and play a little better
–
well, you know, look, I think he's
we
got
might have
one
to
or two
trade
more
for
years
a pitcher. Left. Yankees might have to trade for a pitcher. I'll just say that. Hey, so
don't
Gene,
spend
before
the money
we let
on
you Scherzer. Go,
yes.
Wait, give us an NBA Finals prediction. Who's going to the Finals and who's going to win it?
It's so tight right now. Who knows? At this point, you know, Miami. I'm going to go with Miami And well, it could be the Clippers. The Clippers, until this thing happened, the Clippers were you know, front runners. So I think Miami's going to pull away, and the West is still up for grabs. It's a pick 'em at this point.
Okay.
But, you know, I miss Mario Chalmers. That's my boy. Gets no respect from anybody. Gets yelled at all the time, and yet he's got the rings. Everybody
yes, he does.
Busts on Mario like it's opening
that's
season.
That's Super Mario to you.
I know, yeah. I know. But the man has gotten abused. Anyway, I'm on the hutch. We're headed home. And,
be careful on the hutch.
Yeah, it's all good in the hood.
Yeah,
hustle
well,
on,
Michael.
Later.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling, man. Peace. So, listen. We look at the other series, and we got to go right to the Mavs and Spurs. To me, this is incredible.
That killed me,
Carter, I told you, the Tar Heels stand up, North Carolina Nation stand up. Great shot, great win, but Monte Ellis is the best player on the court right now, and kudos to this kid, okay? And I think this is, you know, we're about to talk about make or break, but I think the Mavs have a chance to beat the Spurs. I really do.
Well, look, they're up 2-1. They've taken the Spurs' best punch. You could argue they should think, and they could think, that they should be up 3-0. That first game, they were up big, and the Spurs went on a 15-0 run in the first game to take that game in San Antonio. So they're not scared. If you're the Spurs, you need to be worried. You need to start executing.
No, definitely. Let's keep it moving. Obviously, I think tonight the Heat play. Do they sweep them and it's over? I think the Heat win
and they
get the rest.
It's over. Al Jefferson is doubtful. Without Al Jefferson, they're the Bobcats of 2 years ago.
Give them credit. They had a great season, though, and Jefferson, you know, I got to give them a lot of credit. You still got to tweet out a picture. Don't forget your bet. You got
to
be a man of your word. Let's talk about this is probably the most fun series, Thunder Grizzlies. It's been incredible, and I got to say, clutch play from Tony Allen, Mike Miller. If Conley keeps scoring, I'm not going to be surprised either way who wins this. You know, even though I picked the Thunder in like seven, the way the Grizzlies are playing, Ray, you got to love the way they play basketball, the defense.
I really do, and you know what? That is a team that, you know, maybe lacks a little sizzle on offense, but they're just good basketball players that play well together. And by the way, Lionel Hollins coached them last year. They have a new coach this year, but they're the same team. They haven't skipped a beat, and I really, really love Tony Allen and his game,
yeah.
Especially in the playoffs.
He makes Durant work for every shot.
He's disruptive. He makes Durant work. He gets under your skin. He's got a little Bruce Bowen in him, but he's probably a better all-around player offensively for sure. Bowen was just, you know, great on those corner threes. But Tony Allen, I'll tell you what, man, I want him on my team.
You down with Big Tony?
Yes. For sure.
Okay. Now, are we missing any other series? We covered everybody?
Yeah, we talked about
No,
we
Raptors.
Not really talk about the Nets so
no,
much.
No, Raptors,
we
Nets. Remember I said
credit.
This would go 1-1-1. We mentioned DeRozan, but I think that
Indiana-Atlanta is probably the only other series.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, what do you think? They tied it up 2-2. That's the series because we did talk about the Nets. Indiana-Atlanta. I think
you said Pacers.
I think the Hawks could pull it out. Listen, the Hawks had that game. Stevenson
I think the difference in talent ultimately catches up in seven games.
Yeah.
With Al Horford, they would have won. But I still think
Indiana give the credit to George for sticking Teague, right? And that shows you what a difference maker a defensive player is, because he's slowing down the point guard, and you know, kudos to him for that, you know. So these series will advance. We'll have some game sevens maybe on Sunday. We'll definitely on Friday have some series be over, and we'll talk about it. But let's talk about our new segment, Make or Break. These NBA playoffs, we got five players that we're looking at. And honestly, these players, this playoffs can sort of make or break their careers in the sense that it's either time for them to shine or is it about time for them to really win. And first off, I want to look at the Clippers' Chris Paul. Now he's going through a whole new situation. He's got, you know, doubly on his plate because he had to pass it off to Kevin Johnson. Give him props. The mayor of Sacramento is stepping in, Kevin Johnson, to, you know, take care of the players' side and the player association's point of view for the president, Chris Paul. Chris Paul, Ray, has averaged like 19 a game, you know, in the playoffs. 7 assists, 2 steals for his career. And he's not doing that this year. And he's, like you said, he's played, 9-10 season. He's never won an NBA championship, only gotten out of the first round, I believe, once with New Orleans when it was him and Chandler and David West. And nobody ever knocks Chris Paul. And these stats, you know, 16-6 the other night, before that 12-8, he's not playing like the best point guard in the NBA.
He's been a 7-time All-Star. He's been 3 times he's been All-NBA. So this guy has clearly got the pedigree, but like you said, got out of the first round once.
He's got to make it to the finals, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
For you to be happy, he didn't necessarily have to win it, but for you to say that Chris Paul has earned his badge or his title, because, look, Tony Parker gets to the finals all the time. And quiet as kept, he's been the best player on the Spurs for a while now, not just Tim Duncan. It's been Parker. And Chris Paul doesn't get any hits. Well, it's time for him to get a hit. He's got to get to the finals. He's got a thoroughbred team and a great coach. So this is it for him this year.
As you could want, right? He's got role players. He's got specialists. He's got size. He's got wing players.
Reddick, Crawford.
He's got
a backup point guard and Collison. He's got everybody.
Yeah, he really does. Give them credit, and Doc Rivers has built something special out there.
Team, yeah.
So, if they lose in the first round, even with this whole Sterling thing, you know, maybe there's a slight asterisk, but they should win this series. I mean, this is a Golden State team without any size.
Here's
Vogel
the statement.
Is out.
Game 5, Chris Paul needs to get 20-10. That's not asking much. 20-10, 2-3 steals, win the game. Take the series over, win the game. Let's go to the next guy. This guy's new. First time in the playoffs, LaMarcus Aldridge. He's, second-time All-Star. He's his first huge, season in the playoffs, Ray. he's averaging 35 and change a game. I mean, that's ridiculous to me because normally in a season he's averaging like 18 and 8 and 2 assists. So,
he was more than that. This year he had a big season. He averaged 23 this season. So
no, he averaged 23, but I'm saying before this season for his career, he's been 18 and 8.
Oh, yeah.
So this was his best season. But I'm saying now, so is this and what he's doing, I think LaMarcus Aldridge is making a name and claim probably for the, you know, the second best, if not the best power forward in the NBA right behind Griffin. I can't say Kevin Love anymore because Kevin Love never makes it to the playoffs. He does not lift his team up.
Until this year, LaMarcus Aldridge didn't make it to the playoffs either. So it took LaMarcus Aldridge a few years to get to the playoffs. Now, granted, this season.
Listen, I like Kevin Love too, but you got to, you know, they're not even 500, barely 500.
Well, who's the best player on Kevin Love's team? Ricky Rubio? The next best player?
Kevin Martin.
Right? Think about it that way. I mean, it's almost like the Patrick Ewing syndrome where his next best player was, what, Charles Oakley? A one-time, two-time All-Star?
John Starks, yeah.
A one-time All-Star? Right? So Kevin Love really has not had the talent.
Okay.
If you think about it, of the superstars or potential stars/superstars, Kevin Love probably has the worst supporting lineup of just about anybody.
Okay. Well, let's keep it this. LaMarcus Aldridge, he beats Dwight Howard and beats the Rockets in this series. He's making a name for himself. And
yes, he moves up.
I definitely think the Blazers will give the Mavs or the Spurs a lot of trouble, and I think Aldridge is – him and Lillard are becoming stars right before our eyes. Now, the next guy, make or break, this playoffs, it might break him because it's time for him to step up and potentially at least get to the point maybe they get to game 7 with the Heat. And it's Joe Johnson for the Brooklyn Nets, right? He's played with Phoenix. He's played with Atlanta. He's been in the playoffs like, you know, almost every year of his career. Give him credit. He's a winning player. But Joe Johnson, he kind of disappears. One game he's great. The next game he's not. He's averaging 18, 4, and 3 in the playoffs. And then in the regular season, he's averaging 17, 4, and 4. So he's a little steady in the sense that he still scores what he does what the back of his basketball card says, right? He gives you the same stats, basically. But he's not winning. And when we spoke about this, when you say Kobe's injured, who's the best two-guard in the NBA? Well, is it James Harden? Is it Joe Johnson? You know?
Well,
I mean,
here's my problem with Joe Johnson is he's been above average closing games, and he had some statistically gaudy, awesome seasons with Atlanta. But you just don't feel his presence on the court. I mean, you look up in the stat sheet, and yeah, you know, especially in those mid-2000s years, what, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, in Atlanta, he was putting up big numbers, 20, 22, 25 points a game. But ever since he's come to Brooklyn, where he was supposed to take over, and he and Darren Williams supposed to be the best court in basketball, I got to tell you, this guy has been
they're not the best backcourt, yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to see him do big things in the playoffs, regain that title of an elite two-guard, and really because he's got all the talent and he's got size and he's got skills and he's a very gifted basketball player. It's just you don't feel his presence. And really, Paul Pierce is now taking over. Paul Pierce is the guy this year, and he'll be the guy next year too when it comes to, clutch finishers.
Definitely. We got two more guys, Monty Ellis and Dwight Howard. So look at Monty Ellis. And Monte Ellis has been playing ball. I'm blown away that this guy's, only been averaging, 11, 2-2 in the playoffs. He never was a star on his playoff teams. He only has been there with Milwaukee and Golden State once. But this season, Monte Ellis is amazing, not just in a regular season. And he's, scored big-time buckets, 19, 20 a game for Golden State. But guess what? He is a star with Dirk in this playoffs, and I think he's making a name for being one of the top scoring guards in the NBA. So I give Monte Ellis a lot of credit for what he's doing.
I give him a lot of credit, too, for
how he's playing.
taking a much less monetarily, you know, lucrative contract and going
right.
to Dallas
to join a real
playing
team,
for
yeah.
a winner. Because he was playing
yeah.
for Milwaukee and he was playing for Golden State. He had a couple of years in Golden State where they were winning, but other than that, he's been on bad teams. So to see
yeah.
him do his thing and be the heir apparent to Dirk on that Dallas team, I think that's a good fit for him. I hope he stays there, but either way, he's going to get paid next year. But it's good to see him, you know, doing his thing on a winning team. And if they can get past San Antonio, kudos to him because he's right now the most valuable Mav on that team.
He's out playing Parker. And that would be huge. Now Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's been to the finals. You know, he's averaged 20, 14, and 2 in the playoffs. So this guy shows up. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But I got to ask you, if they lose to the Blazers with Robin Lopez at center and him and Harden don't get out of the first round, which is what they did last year, you got to be disappointed. You got to see Dwight Howard take over a game. And really, we could throw Harden on this too. Howard and Harden, they need to be the best players in this series, out-duel Lillard and Aldridge. And Dwight Howard has got to be like, you know what, I'm just going to score 30, and I'll get 16 boards. He's got to dominate. There's no reason none of these guys can physically handle him. And it's kind of disappointing. And to me, you know, this season – maybe next season, it's going to make or break him, I think, for, you know, if he's ever going to be this great center that he's projected to be. Hey, Patrick Ewing, you said it off air. Patrick Ewing, you felt his presence and you feared him. Do you feel that with Howard?
No. And, in fact, this year in Houston was exactly his average, right? He averages 18 points, almost 13 rebounds. And that, those are more or less his career averages, 18 and 12-2. So he had exactly his career average this year. And here's my thing. For a guy that for his whole career, from the minute he stepped, maybe in his third year, fourth year, because Shaq was already declining and other people were declining, it was his torch. He was the best center in the game. But historically, center has been such a dominant position that you expected him to dominate like all of his center predecessors. But you just don't walk onto the court and think, oh my God, Dwight Howard is dominating. And to me, he should, even if he doesn't dominate on offense, even if he only scores 18 a game, 20 a game, you need to dominate on defense. You need to have that Bill Russell mentality of people don't score on you, you get all defensive rebounds, and you block shots, and you make your presence felt. All the great centers, you felt their presence on at least on every defensive possession, if not on many offensive possessions. And you just don't feel that way with Dwight Howard. And he's got all the talent and all the skills.
Yeah.
And forget about the free throws. I'm even saying giving him
a
discount on offense. I'm saying dominate on defense and be active on offense, and you could be a dominant player that brings your team to at least a Western Conference final, if not an NBA finals, you know, several times over in the next few years.
I totally agree, and I predicted them to beat the Blazers and upset the Spurs, and there's no reason why with this talent that this roster can't do it. And I think it's just about Harden dominating and saying, okay, I am better than Dwayne Wade. You know, Durant gave you that title, we'll prove it. And then Howard being the best center in the NBA, if you are really that, prove it. You know? I mean, listen, this Blazer team, I love them. They're good, but like you said, they don't play D. And their shot selection is atrocious. It was making me crazy. They tried to give Houston the game away. You know, these guys chucking up threes, fading away. I mean, there's no reason that with the defensive presence that Houston has, they should not be able to come back and win this series and move on. But we'll see what happens, and we'll see if this series makes or breaks Dwight Howard. So, good show, man. I'm telling you. It's going to be exciting. The playoffs are still alive and well. We'll be back Friday. We'll talk a little bit more NFL, get with the draft, talk with the playoffs, sum up this whole Donald Sterling mess. Maybe some of it will be, you know, raveled up in a bow tie or maybe in a box and cleaned up. You know, sports, you know how I always say, Ray, sports cares, sports heals. So let's just all get along and spread the love, no hate. And, come back and join us Friday, 5 o'clock, man. Ray and Tay today, we'll be here.
We'll see you then. Have a great sports week and bring back the love. We love the the phone calls we got, the love we're getting off air. So,
definitely.
You know, talk sports with us. We'll keep it interesting and keep it exciting, and we'll see you all on Friday.
Definitely. And look out, May 5th, our NFL draft preview show. It's going to be big with George Reister. We'll be talking about the draft, and we'll wrap it up on May 12th, Ray, with Randall Cunningham joining us. Ray and Tay today making big moves, talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Peace.